Sermon on the Mount is a sermon on happiness. What's the secret to happiness? There's nothing more important in the whole world to mankind than happiness. What is the secret to it? Interestingly enough, obedience. Obedience is happiness. Listen to this. Therefore, Jesus closing the sermon, this is his closing remarks. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, obedience. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house, his life, upon the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Praise the Lord. Want to be wise? God wants every Christian to be wise. The way to be wise is to honor the Word of God. The way to be wise is to honor the Word. That's what the message is about today, honoring the Word. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are a God of all comfort. You are a God of all comfort. That's who you are. A comforting God. Jesus said, I come to comfort you, and I'm going to send you another comforter, even the Spirit of truth, who will tell you all the things I've said. He'll take my words and declare them to you. He'll lead you into all truth, because the truth comforts. It sets us free from discomfort, from pain, from sorrow, destruction, death, from all that is harmful and hurtful. Oh God, we thank you that you have a word of comfort for us because you are a God of comfort. Comfort ye, my people. God, we know that it's your desire this morning to show yourself in such a way, to reveal yourself to your people, to make known behind the lattice, behind the wall, behind the screen, that you're full of love for your beloved, that you want us to rise up and come away, that you want us to know that your heart is for us, that your face is comely, that your voice is always sweet. Dear God, I've never heard a harsh word from you. I have never seen a toughness on your face. I have only seen the sweet and lovely voice and face of God because I know who you are because of your word. Even if any other picture should come to me, I would reject it because your word tells me. The sayings of Jesus tell me that you are a loving God, unconditional love, wonderful love. Come away, my beloved. Lord God, we thank you that this day you're going to teach us just what we need to know that we might see you, that we might hear you, that we might know how great thou art. What a God of comfort we have. In Jesus' holy and wondrous name, and all the people said, Amen. Praise God. I was in much prayer about what I should share today, and I had so many messages that God's been speaking to me. I want to talk about leisure. I want to talk about building. Time to build right now. I want to talk about many, many things that God's been saying. But God seemed to say to me, and now I'm sure of it, no, don't tell him about all those umpteen messages that you have that you're bursting with. I have something else. And I said, what is it, God? What would you like to tell the people? And I listened, and first I began to hear, and I said, Lord, I can't hear anything. I don't know what you want me to tell, what you want me to say. I have lots of things to say, but
What is it you would have me say?
And I could not hear, but I began to listen carefully, and I saw that God wanted to show himself. And I got excited because I had a lot of messages about the attributes of God. And I began to think God was saying, tell them that I'm their provider, their source. And I thought, oh, that'll build them up. You know, if I tell them how much of a source you are, that you're one that wants to provide for them, that you're for them, that you're a friend, that you're favorable to them. I want to preach on that.
And God said, no, not that.
And I thought then he wanted to tell me that
he was a God who comforted us, who was
a provider because he was rich. And I thought,
wouldn't it be wonderful to go through all the scripture and show how rich God is?
That he comforts us with the riches that he has.
And so don't tell him about his comfort, but tell him about the riches that he has,
how he has everything.
And they'll see how big God is and how great he is and how
mighty and powerful and wealthy and well off,
that they'll never be afraid
and they'll be strengthened.
And I heard God say, no,
even though that's burning on your heart to share that, and it is.
He said, don't tell them that.
Tell them about my word, because I honor my word above my name. He said, I honor my word above my name. God's name or his nature or his character or his attributes or who he is not as high
as his word. That's funny. I don't understand that. Wouldn't his word be higher
or lower than his name? Isn't God's nature
higher than all? It would be in eternity.
But because we live in time, because we are men,
and because God adjusts everything to us, his nature cannot be known except through his word. Therefore,
he that honoreth God's word honoreth God.
And I searched the scripture mentally in my mind.
Scripture just began to pour in all over scripture
to verify that that was true.
That God's nature, which he wants to reveal, is actually
hidden behind the word,
which is a revelation of his nature.
In the Word, can you turn this thing down a little bit?
It has a kind of a hollowness to it. In God's Word,
the nature of God can be found and nowhere else.
If you find God in any other way,
if you find God or seek God in any other way
apart from his Word, you will only end up in error and deception. You cannot find God except in his Word. Now, that's not only
the living Word.
We've even called ourselves the Church of the Living Word. That is that word that is not just a letter on a page, but that comes alive. But that word is also a written word first. Even before it becomes a living word, and even after it becomes a living word, it must agree with, come forth from, return to, constantly live in and out of this written word.
And for all eternity, this written word will be honored. Do you believe that? That's the truth. Now, the wise man is he that hears these sayings of Jesus. And the whole Bible bears witness to Jesus. I'll prove it. John, the 5th chapter, the 43rd verse says, you search the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life. But it is they that bear witness of me, to me. The written word bears witness to Jesus, all of it. Every word. Every word is given for instruction. Now this morning, we want to honor God's word. We want to magnify God's word. We want to make it so simple you'll understand it's not a mystical thing we're after. It's not some kind of super spiritual encounter with God we're after. That encounter with God will come. It's part of getting into the word. But the secret is the word. Anybody can get into God's word. The wise man is he that hears these sayings of mine and does them. The purpose of the word is, first of all, that you would know, be instructed in, be taught, learn of, meditate on, think about, understand God and his ways and his works, who he is and what he's done. So that you want to learn, you want to be instructed. That's wisdom, to be instructed, to learn, to know. So that you can do, obey, humble yourself under, tremble at that word that you have been instructed in. Now, before I begin, I just want to say that he that hears the word and obeys it, he that is instructed in the word to do it, he that humbles himself under the word of God in order to follow it, he it is alone that gets revelation from God. If you want to know God, you say, I want to know the nature of God, the name of God, the person of God. I would like to have a revelation, a living encounter with the living God. There is one way and only one. There is no other. The Holy Spirit will not be found working apart from the written word, the word. Now, the Holy Spirit does not want you to stay in the written word. That's where the evangelicals get caught. They're afraid of the Holy Spirit, who leads us not only to know the doctrine, but to know Him who is behind that doctrine, in, through, and under it, so that that doctrine comes alive. You must feel and experience and know intimately the things that are written in this book. This is not the whole thing. But this leads you into, and there is no other way, you must start here, this leads you into the very presence of God. The whole purpose of hearing is to do so that God will abide with you, because it says in the Word, John 14, I believe about verse 15, I'm not sure, it says that he that keepeth my commandment and loveth me, he it is that I will manifest myself to. I and the Father will come, we'll make our home with him. We will reveal ourselves to that one. That is the one that obeys, the one that keeps the word. Well, how can you keep it unless you know it? The problem in the world today is that God's people are ignorant. Hello? Amen. That's us. We're an ignorant people. But more than that, not only are we ignorant, but we're proud. We're a proud and arrogant people because we don't humble ourselves under the word of God. Now, that's not a put down. God's not mad. That's just the fact. You're ignorant and proud. Hello? That's not a put-down. That's God saying, be instructed. Don't be ignorant. Learn my ways. Learn who I am. Learn about me. Come to know me. Study my word. Hear it. Don't just come to sermons. Get into the word. Get that word into you. Because unless you hide that word in your heart, you can't not sin against God. Hide my word, he says. How can you hide it unless you know it? And how can you hide it well unless you're ready to obey it? The reason we hide it is so that we can then follow it. You must conform your entire life to the word of God. And that means you have to learn it. You have to come to know it. You'll never hear the whole word of God here on Sunday morning. I guarantee you right now, I'll never preach the whole word of God. I can't. It's physically not time. Jesus didn't even do it. It takes a whole ministry. It took him 3.5 years to declare all of it. It took Paul many years to declare the whole counsel of God. You can't hear it in one message. We have 5 major teachings each week. Every week there are 5 major teachings. If you want to learn to know God, that's one very practical way to do it, is find yourself instructed. If you don't do that, if you say, well, you know, it'll be around next week and so on and so forth, you'll never be instructed. Now, I don't mean you have to come to these teachings. Go to any teachings. Listen to television. Get tapes. Go to other churches. I don't mind. That never has bothered me. Somebody says, well, do you mind if we go to another church? Go. Praise the Lord. Go where you grow. That doesn't bother me. I don't feel God's people can only be fed here. Do you? No. No way. I'm only one gift of God. I am a gift of God. I know that God has given me the living Word of God. I know it. I know this morning what I'm telling you is the Word of God. If I preached any other word, I know it would not be the word of God. You will be edified. You will go home strengthened because I know God gave me that word. But there are many, many words that God wants to give to his people, all in order. But this is in order this morning for you. God wants you to hear the word of God, to obey. Jesus said, the wise man is he that hears these sayings of mine and obeys. That man will have the revelation of Almighty God. That man will know God. The obedient man, the one who has been instructed of God, is going to know God. And what does that end up in? That results in something so wonderful. That results in absolute abundance and prosperity and wonder and delight and deliverance and all the experience, not only of God now, not only to know Him, but with Christ we also get all things. Isn't this true? With Christ we get all things on earth and in heaven. Everything that you need and even more than you need. God's not just the God of needs. God wants to pour out upon His people such a multiplicity, such an abundance. I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. I would that above all else you prosper and be in health. God wants His people to first of all start here. Hear the Word of God. Obey it. To such God will reveal Himself. They will be the abundantly. And you have to be a ruler, which is what we are destined to be. To be a mighty one sitting on the throne with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're already seated with Christ in the heavenly places. We're learning how to rule. All right, Margaret, now. Keep it down. That's not a good ruler. You have to humble yourself. Praise the Lord. Look at that smile. You're going to be a mighty woman of God. This is the secret. Now let's look into that word that God says to honor. Let's look carefully at this word that God says to honor. First of all, let's look at Hebrews. Turn to the book of Hebrews. I want you to learn how to use your Bibles. Half of you already do. I say you bring your Bibles, you write in them, you make down notes. That's good because the Bible says that we should study. Study means study. To show ourselves approved. Isn't this true? Study. That's found in 1 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved. But let's look at Hebrews. First of all, 4:12. Hebrews 4:12. Many of you know this already. We even wrote it on our logo because it's such an important thing. Hebrews 4:12. Thessalonians, Timothy, Philemon, Hebrews. All right? For the Word of God... The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. In other words, the Word of God will separate soul from spirit. Much of what we do is soulish and not spiritual. Much of what we do comes right out of our soul, an unregenerated soul, our flesh, that is, and not from the Spirit. God wants to divide away the sideshow from the main event. He wants to divide away for the flesh from the Spirit. He wants to divide away sinfulness from purity. God wants to make us a holy people. God wants to make us a fruitful people, an effective people, a wise people, an obedient people. That's what the Word of God does. That's the means by which you cannot know the Father except through the Son. You can't know the Son except through the Spirit. And the Spirit will not reveal the Son except through the Word. You must study the Word. Now, the Word is not some mystical thing that you kind of study it and it kind of floats over your head and, you know, comes down through. Or maybe you lay it by your bed, you know, and it's just kind of there at night and kind of comes over on you. You have to actually open it and read it and talk about it and sing it and obey it and dance to it and jump with it and memorize it and mutter it. And, you know, that's what you have to do with the Word. You have to chew it over and over and over again until it's yours, until you're it and it's you, until you become one with that Word, until every scripture begins to sink in. Don't skip your spinach, you know. There's ice cream in the Word too. Start with the ice cream if you want. You know, start with dessert. But God wants you, really, the truth of the matter is, God wants you to begin with pure spiritual milk. Pure spiritual milk. This is pure spiritual milk. Jesus loves me, this I know. That's pure spiritual milk. Pure spiritual milk is God loves you unconditionally. For God so loved the world. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, the old has passed away, the new has come. These are pure spiritual milk words. God's love for you, what God has done for you. All kinds of scriptures. There is therefore now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. This is milk. Here's another milk. We know that in everything, God's working for good for those that love the Lord who are so on and so on and so on. These are milk. Feed on these. Don't read the hard ones. Don't read go and do likewise. Don't read, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Don't read all those tough ones. That's spinach. read the part that's good. I'm going to tell you something. The good news is good. And if you ever read the Word of God and you don't get good out of it, you haven't read the Word of God. I know the hard words are there, but they must be read in context. And God Himself, through the Word, has told us how to read it. He said, "Unless you hear my voice as sweet, you haven't heard my voice. If you hear it as harsh, but don't go on to hear that harsh voice as sweet, you haven't heard it. If you see my face as strong, but you don't realize it's comely, you haven't seen my face as strong." Of course God has many voices, many faces. Of course He tells us to do hard things and go to work. But you don't fight until you've won. You don't work until you rest. You don't battle until it's over. You don't do until you've heard. You don't serve until you've related. You don't perform until you know Him. God's Word must be divided rightly. That's what Hebrews 4:12 says. There are many other passages say the same thing. You must divide it rightly. Many people divide it wrongly. Then you don't grow up right. You grow up wrong. You grow up with your hand bigger than your eye. You grow up distorted. You grow up unbalanced. You may not even grow at all. To grow healthy and strong and mature and wise, you must hear these words of mine, these sayings of mine. Study, for example, the Sermon on the Mount. It starts out with this word, happy. If you read the Sermon on the Mount and you don't get happy out of it, you haven't read it, because that's what it's all about. Happy. God wants you to be happy. Do you know that? Can you say amen? Amen. God wants you to be prosperous. Can you say amen? Amen? In all that He does, Psalm 1, He prospers. That's for God's children. Jesus is into that. Jesus wants the people of God to be abundantly supplied. I am your source. I am your shield. I am your exceeding great reward. Over and over again in Scripture, this is the word of the Lord. Yet we find many other words and we don't understand them, rightly dividing. You must understand how to hear God. The Sermon on the Mount, it's all about happiness. Are you happy? Is there anyone who's happier than you are? I know of no one who's happier than I am. No one. I am the happiest person on the face of the earth. Now, I have found some others who are as happy as I am. They're called children of God. But there's none happier. I am chosen by God. God has redeemed me, brought me out of the kingdom of darkness, and set me in a broad place, in a high place. Isn't that exciting? That's you. That's you. That is yours whether you know it or not. Happy are those who know it. Happy are those who are instructed in the Word of God, who hear the Word of God, meditate on it, study it, think about it. You can't just get it through sermons on Sunday morning. You can't just get it ad hoc, along the road, running here and there, sort of as catch can. You've got to study to make yourself approved. You've got to meditate. You've got to do it day and night. You've got to think on it. You've got to instruct. You've got to sit down and actually write it out. Study it out. Think it out. Be instructed. Wise is the man who becomes instructed in the teachings of God, in the ways of God. Find out what He's done for you. Make a whole list. Go home and make a list of all the things God has done for you, all the rights and privileges and inheritances. That will build you up. You will become strong and mighty. Don't go home and write down all the things He wants you to do. Someone said to me, "I don't want to be a Christian because don't you have to fast? I don't think I could do it." Well, that's not the way to understand God at all. But don't you have to fast? Well, yeah, but don't think on that. Well, I don't want to do it then. They're just put off by something they think they have to perform. They're like the prodigal son, thinks I have to come home and work hard. When you meet God and you come to know Him and you enter into His rest and into what He has done, fasting will be a piece of cake. It doesn't say if you fast, it says when you fast. I'm a faster. Because fasting is part of the Christian walk, but it's not hard. I've never had a burden fasting. Not when you know God says do it and you trust Him. Now if you don't trust Him, don't do it. Don't do it then. Keep hearing until you hear. And when you learn to trust Him, you'll do it. Hear, then obey. Hear, then obey. Hear your loving Father. You know, when I tell God, "God, I don't want to do that," that's because I don't trust Him. "God, I know it says right here in the Word to do it, but I don't trust You. And God doesn't say, I'll get you for that. Hear me. God doesn't say, you don't trust me, do you? You've had it. Now you just walk out that door and see what's going to happen to you, because you don't trust me. You know what God says? He just has a big grin on his face and he says, Jim, you don't trust me, do you? I said, no, I really don't, God. I know I'm supposed to, but I don't. And he says, that's all right. I'm going to display myself to you in such a way that you will. Do you hear that word? That's the way God talks. That's the way Father talks. He doesn't say, he doesn't whip off his belt and say, you know, because you didn't trust me, you wretched servant, you know. That isn't the way God talks to us, is it? Is it?
No.
Let's hear it more. Is it? Never. God would never say that to his children. We are not destined for wrath. I know God chastises us, but God does so through his word. He'll say to me, Jim, trust me. Haven't I been good before? Now he's talking to me. Yeah, yeah. Now, didn't it work out before? Yeah, yeah. Now, why don't you trust me in this? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. God doesn't just push me or reject me. What he does is he works with me. He knows why I don't trust him. He knows I haven't heard the word. So he wants to instruct me. He says, come here. Let me hear your case. Why is it you don't trust me? And I set forth my little case and he says, okay, now hear me. And God sets himself forth in such a way that I'm overwhelmed by God's love and by his power and by his forgiveness. God doesn't reject me. God forgives me. And then God instructs me and helps me and says to me, I will be with you. Oh, God, are you going to be with me? Well, maybe I could make it then. You know, you haven't quite got it down. Let's go back over our lessons again. I love you. I call you to do this. I forgive you when you haven't, and even now. And I will empower you and enable you to do it. I've already done it, Jim. Do you believe that? I don't know. You know, he said, okay, come on back to first grade again. Okay, let's go over that again. I love you. And, you know, and over until finally the revelation comes and I see it. I hear my Father God speaking to me. And I say, I can trust you for that. Sometimes, you know, I get the wrong word. I can trust you for that. And then God says, okay. He doesn't say anything. You just do it. When you trust him, then he just reveals himself to you and says, now, Jim, do you see? And I'm just overwhelmed. I say, oh, God, why did I ever doubt you? And now then God reveals some more things to me. And I enter into such great delight. And I realize God had for me all the time happiness. Fasting wasn't hard. You know what happened after I fasted? God answered those prayers. The first few times I fasted, God answered every prayer miraculously. It was so incredible. I don't know if you have the same testimony or not. But I was kind of worried that maybe I'll do it and nothing will happen. But I didn't know how to fast. I didn't even know that much about it. I'd read some books and looked at the scriptures, but I didn't really know what fasting was all about, really. But I obeyed. I knew God was saying, do it. I didn't understand what it was all about, but I did it. And God answered, and I thought, there's no other way. These kind come out by only one way, prayer and fasting, and he did it. And I said, praise God, I want to fast. I want to fast. I used to be 200 pounds. No, I didn't. But I do fast frequently. Because there's power in that. That's just one example of obedience. God says, trust me. When I tell you to do something, it's always wonderful. It's always good. And I've learned that God is that way. Another scripture. Hebrews 5, verses 11, 12, and 13. This is beautiful. Of whom we have, starting at verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that ye are dull of hearing. Jesus said, a wise man is he that hears and obeys. Many of us are dull of hearing. Listen. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one still teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. In other words, what he's saying here is, you ought to be teachers by now. You've heard the word of God for over 3 months. After 3 months, you should already have finished with most of your major sins in your life. You ought to be fully happy all the time. You ought to have everything down. You ought to be an overcomer by then. Or maybe 6 months. Or maybe 6 years at least. Or maybe 20 years at least. I mean, somewhere along the line, you ought to have become an overcomer. You ought not still, at this point, after years and years and years and years, still be on milk. Pre-digested food that we've chewed up and then given back to you. That's what ministers are doing up here. They're chewing it up and, you know, so you can understand it. You ought to know the Word of God yourself. You ought to have your senses already exercised so that you can discern good and evil when you meet it. And not have to say, Pastor, what is this? Pastor, the sin is getting me down so much. Please help me. Get this off, this guilt and this condemnation. Pastor, keep telling me how much God loves me. Or husband or wife or any mature Christian. No, we ought to be instructed after several months in such a way that the first principles are behind us and we're going on, no longer dull of hearing. We can hear God clearly because we're moving on to maturity. We're going on. Listen, verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word, is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use, exercise, discipline, doing it over and over again, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Have you studied that word over and over and over again? Plunged yourself in the word until you know what it says and you could teach others, you can instruct others. That's what God's saying is skillful. You ought to be able to turn every word in the Bible to I love you. You ought to be able to, if somebody would come to you and say, well, how do you understand this word right here that says, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, having tasted the good word of God, the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. Is that happening to me? Would that happen? Could you instruct that person in a way? Because that's a verse that so condemns people. They say, I once tasted of the age of come. I remember when I was born again, I was so happy for God. Then I fell away. I fell back. I really went back into sin again. I lost all that joy and that power I had. Am I under this verse? Can I repent and come back? Or is it too late for me? You ought to be able to tell them. You ought to be able to discern good and evil. You ought to be able to show them how to understand that word so they don't get condemned. Oh, there are some people that ought to be condemned by that verse. But most of the people that are condemned by that verse and feel it, they ought not to be. If anyone comes reading that verse, they're not proud and arrogant. They're frightened. And they need to be instructed in the way. No, God loves you. And you need to be skillful in the Word. We need to know how to teach the Word of God. And don't just pass over it quickly. Another one, 1 Peter 1:22. Don't turn to it, but it just simply says, long for, yearn for, like a babe, like a new baby, that pure spiritual milk. We gave Margaret the other day a cucumber in our garden. She didn't like the cucumber. Now, everything else we've given her, she's liked. But she didn't like cucumber, you know. But she just loves Mama. She wants that pure spiritual milk. She doesn't want to eat something else that's not good for her, that tastes kind of funny. I don't know how she knew cucumbers weren't good for her. I love them. But she says, you know, I'm not ready for cucumbers yet. I can't chew those things. You know, I don't know how to get them down. So when you're a new babe, you just need to hear this. God loves you. God loves you. God has done this for you. These are the privileges that you have. These are the rights that have been attained for you. This is who you are in Christ. God is for you. No man can stand against you. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. These are the words you want to feed on. This is pure spiritual milk. Another scripture. That's enough. Done enough on that. Let's talk about obedience. Once you hear the word of God and you're strengthened in his love, then you're ready to obey. And God will not tell you, God will not tell you, God will not tell you about obedience until he tells you about love. If you hear obedience before you've heard love, you haven't heard God. You say, but here it is in the Bible. But you're not rightly dividing. Listen carefully. God's going to build you up and bless you before he makes you a blessing. He's going to give to you before He expects from you. He's going to wash your feet before you wash someone else's feet. He's going to do for you before you do for someone else. Unless you know that God loves you, don't go on. Get that down. God, you're a mess and God loves you. Have you heard that? You can be the biggest mess in the whole world and God loves you. Unless you're ready to say, God, I tried to pray every morning and my heart just wasn't in it. Do you still love me? Yes. I wanted to be the perfect wife. I tried for 4 days and now I'm ready to quit. Do you still love me? Yes. I wanted to be the perfect mom to the kids. You know, I determined I would be more peaceful and I wouldn't this and that and so on and so forth. I didn't make it. Do you still love me? Yes. I didn't win any souls today. Do you still love me? Yes. I had a self-pity party today for 4 hours. Do you still love me? Yes. I can't forgive my mother yet. I've tried to forgive her, but I just can't. Do you still forgive me? Yes. I banged on the pulpit and the pencil fell out. You know, anything. God, I don't have to be anything for you to love me, do I? No. I love you. You're mine. I've bought you. I've called you by name. I did it all. Enter into what I've done. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you peace, rest, sweetness. Isn't God sweet? Once you hear that, then you'll hear other words. Once you know God loves you, like a young child, David, for example. David loves now to help me. Right, Dave? Dave, he's not even paying attention to me. He's so loved he doesn't even care. You know who he loves? He loves Susan here. Dave. David likes to help me now. He knows he's loved. And when I go and do something, he wants to be right at my side and say, can I go with you? Can I do it too? Now, I didn't have to talk him into doing. He's always doing something. In fact, that's the problem. You know, his room will be so beautiful, and in just 15, 20 minutes, it's a chaos. So the thing to do is keep ahead of him, you know, and to give him new jobs to do, you know, new things to occupy him, you know, weeding the garden, and I don't know, all the things we come up with, Dave, aren't they fun? You know, but David likes to be doing things, so he needs to hear what Dad says. Now it's vacation time for the girls, and they want to just watch TV and, you know, go swimming, and where's it we're going to go tomorrow or something, water slides or, you know, they've got all these things. Well, I say, no, you've got to do some things first. This is vacation, but, you know, we've got to work too. Good old Dad. But they know that Dad loves them. And they know that I would never have them do anything except to be good for them. I remember one year we had Kara just read all summer, read books. We felt it would be good for her to read Christian books. And so we just had her read books that would edify her. And that meant she couldn't do a lot of other things. But she did a lot of reading that summer. And it was a blessing. I don't know how many books she read, but we gave her some skates or something afterward for doing all that. We rewarded her. We showed our approval, our appreciation, our love for her for obeying. God wants us to obey. There is a time to work. It's after we know we're loved and don't have to work to get approval. We don't have to prove ourselves. We just work because it's good for us. We work because we have the energy, the power, and so on. So God is saying, I will reveal myself or manifest myself to those that tremble at my word. Who is the man I will look to? Who is the woman I will look to? Who is the girl and boy I will look to? She or he that trembles at my word, that humbles themselves under my word, that regards my word, my word, my word, my word. God says, honor my word and I will honor you. If you will honor my word, I will honor you. If you will stay in my word, you people don't know what life is like until you enter in, God says, to the world of the Word. Once you enter into that world, you have come to know life. Those that are fools are those that ignore the instruction of God. Many people are foolish who will not be instructed out of their pride. They will not humble themselves, tremble at this Word. They throw off the Word. They don't want to be bothered with it. They want to be busy about their lives, accomplishing things, even for God sometimes. But that makes a fool. A fool is one who is uninstructed, who is too proud to humble himself under the word of God. A wise man humbles himself, becomes instructed. That takes time. Going to school takes time. Being instructed, meditating, thinking on, dwelling on, takes time. But you will be then a wise and a happy and a fruitful and an effective and a blessed person. Blessing come. Oh, we have it up here. Good. This is an acrostic, which means you want to write something down in your Bible. This is how to honor the Word. First of all, wisdom comes from being instructed in the Word of God. That's how wisdom comes. You can't just pray for wisdom and it'll float down on you. It says, ask and you'll receive wisdom. But it isn't just that it floats on you. Wise is the man who fears God. And the fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. Wisdom comes as you come to know the Lord and to hate what He hates and love what He loves. Wisdom is being instructed in the Word. You must be instructed in the Word. That will lead you to obedience. Obedience then speaks. First thing that obedience does is talk. It speaks and acts in accordance with that Word. Every word that comes out of my mouth is not based on God's Word. But it's my earnest prayer and desire. I read the Word a lot that I might be instructed so that I can speak more accurately. The Word convicts me. Oh, I didn't say right over there. I spoke wrongly. The Word convicts me. Oh, I want to talk like Jesus talked right there. I want to say what Joseph said. I speak like the patriarchs and like David. When I hear them saying something in the Psalms or in the stories, I pick that up as my vocabulary. I see myself as they saw themselves. I begin to take on the character of Abraham or of David or of Moses. Is that wrong to do? Is that hypocritical? No, that's why God wrote those stories down. He knew that as you read them, as you read any book, you begin to take on the characters that you're reading. And sometimes I read and I think I'm Ahab. But God says, I don't want you to be Ahab. The reason I wrote this story is so that you'll become Elijah. And over again in the stories, you have the good and the bad, the light and the dark. And God wants to instruct you in that. What is wisdom but instruction in right and wrong? Good and bad, light and dark, God and man, Satan and God. That's instruction. That's all it is, learning to discern between good and evil. No longer eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil through experience, but learning to submit myself to the Word without trying it. Learning when God says, trust me, I can trust Him without actually saying, well, let me find out for myself. He says, well, haven't you found out enough by yourself already? That you're always wrong every time you go your own way? Have you not learned that yet, Jim? Yes, Lord. I am learning that. I am learning that. I'm being instructed in the way. I've learned that every time I obey Your Word, before I even understand it, all I have to understand is what You tell me to do. I've learned that that's wisdom, and that leads to happiness, and that leads to life, and that leads to abundance. That's what I've been looking for my whole life. Happy is the man who hears the Word of God and obeys it. God will then reveal Himself to you in such a way that your life will never be the same again. When you have met with the living God, and there's only one way to do it, and it's the way we've been talking about, instruct yourself in the Word. When you have met yourself, when you have learned to become skillful in the Word, God will then reveal Himself to you over and over again as such a gracious Father. He will be Jehovah Jireh. He will be the God who comforts you. He will be the God who empowers you. He will be the God who speaks to you and gives you guidance. He will be the God who loves you and walks beside you, who defends you, who prospers you, who does everything because God is all in all. That should not be a doctrine. That should be an experience among us. First, get into the Word. Get the doctrine down. Be a theologian, but in this very simple sense. Just chew on the Word. Think on it. Be instructed in it. And God will lead you in all these ways. The Word gives wisdom, leads to obedience. Revelation comes to those who speak and act in such a way. And finally, the blessings of Almighty God, heaven itself, not only with Christ. Not only do we get Christ, but we get everything else as well. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. The Word of God goes forth, never to return without accomplishing all that it intended to do. That Word, this Word written down and coming alive in your life, will accomplish heaven on earth. Will bring to pass all that God intended. And you are God's intention. God intends to exalt you on high. God intends to bless you here in this life, even before heaven. God is not saving all of His wealth, all of His health, all of His strength, all of His blessing for heaven. He has a Head Start program going. He wants you now to have the foretaste, the first taste of the fruits of heaven. And one of the ways is through this meal. One of the things that God wants to do is to give you a foretaste of the heavenly banquet. Don't try to understand it. Just obey. Hear and obey, and God will meet you in this meal. Did it not say that they saw Him in the breaking of the bread? You understand that? that as they broke bread, Jesus was revealed to them, and then he disappeared so they wouldn't make a monument out of the thing and build a church over it. He disappeared saying, not yet, not yet. But he's building for us a life of abundance, a life of blessing. God loves us. Do you hear the word of the Lord? Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank you that you are a God of comfort, a God of grace, a God of mercy. I know there are many here today who have been already strengthened, who have been built up. I know that everyone here that is born again has received the word of God to edification, to joy, to worship, to praise, to thanksgiving,